Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Today, we look ahead, as we normally do, to the readings for this Sunday, the 19th Sunday in Ordinary Time. The first reading is taken from the first book of Kings, chapter 19, verses 4 to 8. Elijah, one of the greatest of the prophets in the Old Testament, Elijah went a day's journey into the desert until he came to a broom tree, and he sat beneath it. He prayed for death, saying he was going through very hard times. Most prophets, in fact, all the prophets did. If you're called to be the Lord's messenger, it costs. But oh my goodness, the reward far, far outweighs the pain of the cross. Far outweighs it. He prayed for death, saying, "This is enough, O Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my fathers." He lay down and fell asleep under the broom tree. But then an angel touched him and ordered him to get up and eat. Elijah looked, and there at his head was a hearth cake and a jug of water. After he ate and drank, he lay down again, but the angel of the Lord came back a second time, touched him, and ordered, "Get up and eat, else the journey will be too long for you." So he got up, he ate again, and he drank. And then, strengthened by that food, he walked 40 days and 40 nights to the mountain of God, Horeb, Mount Horeb. Now, this is a prefiguring of the Eucharist. Get up and eat. Get up and eat. Else the journey will be too long for you, too much for you. Life is hard. God offers himself every day in the Eucharist for us. An angel fed Elijah. God himself feeds us every day in the Eucharist. Too busy, sorry, can't squeeze it in, have too many things to do. And then we wonder why life is so hard. Come, feed on him. This was a prophetic sign of what was to come, but Jesus said, he said it right before his crucifixion. He gave himself to us, body and blood, to feed on, to be nourished by, to be nurtured by. And we say, "No, thank you very much. I have more pressing things to do." In that sense, brothers and sisters, I think we can easily call one another stupid. Really. I'm not talking about going every day, though if you possibly can, please do. But I am talking about feeding on the Eucharist with faith and with hope, knowing that this food and this drink, which God has given us in his own body and blood, strengthens us for the journey. This program is entitled Food for the Journey. The greatest of the food for the journey is the Eucharist. Secondly is his word, the power of his word. It feeds us. You need food for the journey. You need it every single day. You need it sometimes more than once a day. Feed on the Eucharist when that's possible. Make it possible. We sacrifice for the things we really want. Is there a sacrifice that you could make that would make it possible for you to feed on the Eucharist at least a time or two during the week, if not every day? But when you can't, and even when you can, feed also on the Word. It will nourish you. God is giving you everything to strengthen you for this journey of life. Receive it. Put it to work. Psalm 34, taste and see the goodness of the Lord. But you have to know that he's handing you food, and you have to receive that food. Be grateful for that food. Let that food nourish you. Taste and see the goodness of the Lord. The second reading is from Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 30, to the second verse of chapter 5. Brothers and sisters, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were sealed for the day of redemption. When you were baptized, the Holy Spirit came to you. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. He does. You are a tabernacle. In a sense, you are a tabernacle of God. You carry him within you. Is he desecrated in you, or is he glorified in you? Do not grieve the Holy Spirit, with which you were sealed for the day of redemption. All bitterness, fury, anger, shouting, reviling must be removed from you, along with all malice. I hate you and I want to destroy you. I hate you and I want to destroy you. Be kind to one another, compassionate, forgiving one another, as God has forgiven you in Christ. Be imitators of God as beloved children. Live in love as Christ loved us and handed himself over for us as a sacrificial offering to God for a fragrant aroma. He wants our lives, brothers and sisters, to rise like sweet smelling incense before the throne of God. I just heard a story last night that exemplifies this passage to the Ephesians. I'll make it very brief, but a man told me he and his wife had come to an event at the parish. When they came out to get into their car, there was a big hole in the bumper of their car, an actual hole, and big, no note, nothing. It was just there. And this man said how furious he was all week. So they went back the next week for this another parish event, and they parked where they had parked before, and lo and behold, in front of them is this kind of beaten-up truck, and there is one of those, you know, when you want to attach a trailer to a car or a truck or something, you have, I don't know what they're called, but there they are in the middle of the back of the car, like a big bolt, and he said, must be that guy. So the guy's getting out of his truck, and the man who's telling me the story, he said, I went up, you know, full of righteous indignation, and I said, are you the one who put that hole in my bumper? And this guy turned around and he looked at it and he said, I probably am. And he said, why didn't you stop? Why didn't you leave it? And he said, right then, as he's yelling at this man, and his wife is standing back there praying, he said, right then, in the middle of that, he said, he really heard something like this in his head. Would have had to been very strong because he was yelling. And he said, it was something like, do you want me to treat you when you come before my judgment seat? Do you want me to treat you with the mercy with which you're treating him right now? Whoa. And he stopped right there. He was yelling at this man. And he stopped. And he said, I'm sorry, I shouldn't be yelling. And the man said, no. He said, I had a stroke. And he said, I've been cleared to drive again, but my judgments still aren't really clear. And I'm sorry for what I did, and I will pay you for it. And both of them, the strength just went out of both of them in the sense of being angry or upset. And what ended up was these two couples, after the event in the parish, they went out for coffee. They've had coffee since. The two families are becoming friends. All because somebody stopped right in the middle of what they were doing and heard the Lord say, how are you going to act in this situation? Do you want me to do with you what you're doing with him? Is that how you want me to treat you? Brothers and sisters, God is very near. He wants us to become, as Paul's letter to the Ephesians tell us, a sacrificial offering to God for a fragrant aroma. He wants us to be like sweet-smelling incense rising before the throne of God. And we can. All we have to do is repent. Even better, ask God before we open our mouths, what do you want me to do here? Help me. the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 41 to 51. The Jews murmured about Jesus because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." And they said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph? Do we not know his father and mother? How can he say, 'I've come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Stop murmuring among yourselves. He knows what they're saying. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draw him, and I will raise him on the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'They shall all be taught by God.'" He's revealing himself, but they're so earthbound and we're so earthbound that we don't open our hearts to the possibility that this person may be someone far greater, infinitely greater than we are. That's what happened with the scribes and the Pharisees. They couldn't see beyond their own noses. Ask God to give you vision to see the infinite right in the midst of all the finite situations. How does God see this? What would God do in this situation? He's right there to help you. "Everyone who listens to my Father and learns from him comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father." He's referring to himself there. "Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the desert, but they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." Every day, brothers and sisters, every day in the Eucharist, the Lord is saying to us, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavily burdened, come to me. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. The bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." Brothers and sisters, if you want to be able to live as a truly baptized Christian, if you want to grow in your understanding of God, then feed on the food he gives you, his word, and the Eucharist. Feed on it daily. And literally you will be strengthened. Literally the scales will fall from your eyes and you will see in faith. You will begin to see who you really are and the destiny that God has prepared for those who are willing to follow him. Jesus wants to feed you. Remember when you were a child, or children of your own, sometimes you bring them to the table and they don't want to eat. They just don't want to eat. They kick, they scream, they spit out the food you try to put in their mouths. Honestly, that's what we're like. We laugh at them as though they were small children, but often we're the same. May God give you light to see. God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I'd like to offer you a new free booklet entitled The Final Confrontation by Ralph Martin. I am very interested in your response, and you can write to me at Renewal Ministries. To access the free booklet, simply call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.